Derek Thompson's podcast is called Plain English. Recent episodes were about AI, big tech jobs bubble, the weight loss drug that America isn't ready for, and a whole bunch more. If you want to get smarter, listen to Derek Thompson's Plain English, only on the Ringer Podcast Network. We're also brought to you by the Ringer Podcast Network. I have new rewatchables coming on Monday night. It is the last installment of One Word Movie Month. I'll just tell you that Ryan Russillo and Chris Ryan are the co-hosts. If that doesn't get you excited, I don't know what will. Coming up on this podcast, Cousin Sal and I are going to talk about Sunday football, the conference championships, the Super Bowl line, whether all officials should be shot into the sun, and a bunch of other topics. It's a huge podcast, Jim. Get ready, Jim. Huge one. Huge one, Jim. It's all next. First, Pearl Jam. All right, taping this 7:24 p.m. Pacific time. Cousin Sal is here. We just watched the Chiefs outlast the Bengals. Before we talk about how bad the refs were and how weird of a day it was. It was really one of the weirder conference championship days.
Yeah.
Shout out to Mahomes, man. He played on one leg, gutting through it, ran out of receivers. Just impressive. Added to the legacy. He's made five years of starting, five conference championships. Three Super Bowls, put together a nice little resume, but this was a good one for him.
Absolutely. No question about it. Until we find out that whatever drug they shot into him this week is been illegal for like 309 years or something. But I mean, I don't know. You and I both talk like you know, people with high ankle sprains. We know people with kids with high ankle sprains, and it always results in a walking boot and crutches on Wednesday. And either this wasn't a high ankle sprain or, my God, like even athletes with high ankle sprains don't play, right? Like, how did he fit this 5-week injury in 4 days?
You think it was a competitive move by the Chiefs? They intentionally misdiagnosed it. So dumbasses like us could be like, oh, on Monday, oh, Bengals, let's put them in a tease.
Yeah.
Although Bengals tease won, I guess. But it was weird because I really do think he was that hurt. There were these little moments that they would show during the game. Like he would throw and he would, as he was throwing, make sure he put no weight on the right leg. And every time he ran, it really seemed like he was gutting through it. It was an awesome performance. And yet, I still feel like the Bengals should have won the game. It was sitting there for them. They had two drives in the last, 8 minutes? Both times they were in control of their destiny. First one, second down pass hits Chase in the helmet. Seemed like he was open. Seemed like it almost could have been an interference.
Right.
And then the third down play gets tipped, intercepted. They end up getting the ball back anyway. And then they just can't put the drive together and they end up having to punt again.
Yeah, that second interception ended up being like a good punt. It was like a 56-yard punt, right? And then they got it back. There was that craziness with the play that everybody, the booth thought. I mean, they're blaming the noise and everything, Romo and Nance, and the ref runs in. But that ended up not mattering. There was like a lot of plays that were called against the Chiefs that didn't matter, and some did. But the truth is the Bengals had the ball with like 2:30 left with a chance to score. So that's where I put it. I know you want to go off on the refs and they were bad. That crew was clueless for 3.5 hours.
I thought the third down redo mattered a little bit because the Bengals had just a shitload of momentum at that point and they end up redoing it. Then there's a pass interference on the second third down. They end up moving up, I think, I don't know, maybe 10 yards move back. I forget where they ended up, but it was so weird. It just felt like it made the game weird. By the time they got the ball, they're inside their own 20. I thought their special teams let them down. You know, if you look back, if you really did the Zapruder film of the last 10 minutes where they have the ball twice, they don't get anything. The punt, what was it? 39 seconds left. How many times do we have to see the team just punt the line drive straight down the middle that the returner gets the 20-yard return on? Just directional punt that shit out of bounds. Why are we letting anyone get involved in this? All of a sudden they had the ball at the 45. But then the boneheaded play at the end by Osai, who was awesome. And it's a shame that he's going to be remembered now as a playoff goat, but that's his destiny.
No, it's not a shame. That was a dumbass play. And as someone who lost a lot of money on the Bengals, that was ridiculous. And they're going to call that every time. And he did the great move, though. He grabbed his own leg. I think they call that the Costanza when you pretend to be angry and upset yourself. And then it's like, maybe we, I don't know, should we help this guy out? I don't even know if the Bengals sent their trainer over to help him out, but assist him. But
you know what it is? That it's was a little awful. Kid move. Like when your little kid does something wrong and then they pretend they're injured to get it, like they burn their hand on the stove when they're making brownies that they shouldn't have been.
Bobby's crying. I got to cry too. Otherwise I'm going to get in trouble. Yeah. Same thing.
Well, let me ask you this. Do you have a problem with them calling that late hit, but not the late hit on Burrow? That was just as obvious about 5 minutes earlier when he threw the ball and then Frank Clark knocked him back when they were like inside their 20. Like my whole thing with these refs, and they were awful, and I think they were incompetent awful. I don't think they were fishy awful, although there was just a ton of money in the Bengals. There were a lot of reasons that a lot of people profited from the Chiefs going. The refs were just incompetent, but if you're going to be incompetent, at least establish some sort of consistency with the incompetence. They didn't even have that.
Yeah, and I'm with you. And it seemed lopsided. We were trying to think of a Bengals call. And yes, you're right with that sack. That should have been a late hit. I mean, he had like, it really, they call that all year, right?
They've called that for 20 weeks.
Yeah, it was a headlock, took him down, all that. Burrow was losing his mind. I almost think they should hire ref crews. It should be situational ref crews. Like these guys are obviously hearing impaired. So the fans being loud was a problem, right? Because even like they had a huddle for like 15 seconds before they made every call. So everything became, you know, you were saying, you texted me and Kyle, you're like, oh, this game's flying. I was like, yeah. And then the refs took over and it just took forever. But yeah, when you're assigning a crew, make sure it's a crew that's done outdoor football before, because the fans really rattled them, I think.
No question. I have never seen a redo of a third down play like the one we saw today. And I watch football every single weekend. I've never seen that before, because if I was even watching it, the play just happens. The refs, nothing. They go, the punt team runs out. And then all of a sudden, a minute later, they're like, no, actually, that guy that was 40 yards over in the far right, way, way back, he wasn't involved in the play at all. He had decided the play stopped. And it really felt like it was going to matter, but it didn't. But they were just disheveled and incompetent. And the annoying thing is, we have two games. It's only two games this whole week. These are your best two crews?
Well,
this is what we came up with?
I think you and I, and especially me, I think, get angry as things wind down, right? I was never going to like that Sopranos ending, basically because it meant the end of the Sopranos, right? So I had to put my anger somewhere. I have to put my anger with the referees or something. Same kind of thing here. So yeah, try to get the calls right. But ultimately, I don't know. I just I listen to podcasts on my network and other podcasts, and I feel like it's 60% complaining about the refs. Isn't it bad in every single sport? Like, isn't everything like very, very close? Like, we'll talk about that first game with Devonta Smith and that catch. And you, to your credit, were the only one who saw that hit the ground. But the first two replays saw that it didn't. And everyone's like, what are the refs doing? What are that? Like, well, we saw it in slow motion and didn't think it hit the ground. So
yeah.
I don't expect I know they're getting paid, but after replay, when we're not sure, like, I don't know. It just seems like there's a lot of wasted energy on the refs when the Niners weren't winning that game anyway. And the Bengals, like I said, had the ball with 2.5 minutes left. Stupid team.
The Osai play. Yeah. So if first of all, it felt like he was kind of losing his balance and touched Mahomes. Mm-hmm. There was one angle where it looks like Mahomes went full scale Lionel Messi flop on it.
Right.
Because he got touched. He did one of those.
Yeah.
But if they hadn't called it, there was still 8 seconds left and they probably wouldn't have been able to get an out of bounds play for at least like another eight. I still feel like Bucker has probably like a 52 yarder. As weird as this sounds, I think the right team won.
Yeah.
And I thought the Chiefs had multiple examples during the game where they just could have put the game away. Like, first of all, they're up 13-3 in the first half. They have the ball. Burrow throws that pick, right? I think there's like 2:30 left. They have the ball on the Cincy side of the field. Three straight passes, incomplete, incomplete, incomplete. They give Cincy the ball back with 2:03. And then Cincy comes all the way down. They get a field goal. You're up 10. There's no way Cincy should get the ball back. You have the ball to start the second half, KC. And it's just like, you just hand the ball off twice, get it to the 2 minute, get it under, try to get one first down. But the one thing you can't do is give them the ball back. They did that. They also had the really weird punt on 4th and 8. What was that? With like 5-6 minutes left, where
Well, they declined the penalty, right? It was going to be third and like 18.
They're on the Cincy 41, and they decided to punt it. And I think they ended up punting it to like the 8 or whatever.
Yeah, well, that's where you talk about the special teams snafus for the Bengals. The Chiefs were kicking it, that directional kick out of bounds inside the 10, the 8, at the 4. They did that all game. So, yeah, they had that right.
Smart.
Yeah, the thing before the half where I think it's like, was it Higgins who made the catch with 27 seconds left? And they had used two timeouts. Yeah, you called it. Like, they used two timeouts, like, on a third and one, basically. Right? Like, on a third and one, then
Ryan,
the first down.
P. Ryan should have gotten a first down, somehow got tackled without getting the first down.
Right.
And instead of just hustling up to the line with your 6'5 quarterback and sneaking in, getting over, and then call the timeout. They call timeout. They run a run play. It should have been a pass play. It was a run play instead. They get it. Then they call another. So now they've used two timeouts to get 3 yards and burn 6 seconds.
Yeah. And then he's tackled, like I said, with 27 seconds left. And then there's 8 seconds left after the fade route. Like, that was bad clock management, you know. But then they went 3 and out after. I mean, then it really got good. I was like, this is a sloppy game. But then that Higgins catch was amazing. That Valdez Scantling catch where Mahomes wasn't even looking and he threaded the needle for the touchdown. It was a great fourth quarter. I thought if the referees hadn't like slowed it down like they did.
So the outside play.
You're the one who won't leave him alone. You're like, I feel bad for this guy.
Well, I think it's going to be remembered because we don't have playoff goats. It's not like basketball. In basketball, we always have these plays where we can be like, oh, if that hadn't happened or this play or that play. In football, for the most part, when it gets to a game this close, guys just start making plays. There's not like a GOAT kind of play. But we were thinking like, what do we say? Gary Anderson? That was one.
Yeah, Gary Anderson.
The field goal. Scott Norwood, obviously. There was the D4 jumping off sides against the Pats or the encroachment.
Yeah, if you want to count penalties, bad penalties, that was the worst one in recent memory, I guess, the D4. Right?
So let's do a thought experiment here. Mm. He doesn't do that. Bucker misses a 58-yarder. We go to overtime. We have the new overtime rules in place.
Yeah.
From what you saw in the second half, who wins that game?
Man, I think it's still a coin flip at that point. I really do. I wasn't confident that either offense, it's unlike most overtimes, right? Where the defenses are gassed and you just feel like whoever gets the ball is going to score. Or, you know, in the Chiefs case, they just go down the field. I really think it's just a coin flip that they screwed up there.
I was starting to think the longer the game went along, the better it was for Cincy because Casey's pass rush was so good. But the pass rushes,
21
they
weeks.
Usually don't last for 4 hours. You might get two and a half. But then in that last drive, they did it again. And, ultimately the Bengals lose that game because of what happened to their O-line. They couldn't protect Burrow long enough. And then once Boyd goes out, then Romo did a good job of pointing out they're just doubling the two receivers and letting Hayden Hurst and number 16 beat them.
Irvin, yeah.
I thought it was going to be a Joe Mixon game, and it just wasn't. And he never really totally got going. I thought they were going to be able to run the ball up the middle, but it goes back, that Bengals O-line just... You thought the Bills game might have been a little deceiving because of how bad the field was and the Bills weren't that good to begin with.
Somehow the lack of footing helped the offensive line and helped Burrow get quick passes off. They talked about how he was like second fastest in the league release at like 2.5 seconds. But for that first quarter and early second quarter, it looked like he had about 1.8 seconds to throw. They were right in his face. And it's funny because the whole analysis probably all week was, can Mahomes get in there? We completely disregarded the fact that the offensive line, he's still missing his three guys, right? Maybe this is going to be the week. Somehow the Chiefs have the second most pressures in the league, which you wouldn't think after my dreadful Cowboys. But that ended up being a big difference. But then, I don't know, last year we saw Burrow get dumped 9 times against the Titans. And it didn't matter. They won. So, and he almost won tonight.
I thought it was a really hard game. I thought the line was hard just to pick.
Yeah.
I didn't like the line. I didn't like not knowing what we were getting from Mahomes. I didn't like not knowing, all right, did the Bengals kind of figure out a makeshift offensive line here, or was that Bills game? I just thought I ended up not betting it straight up. I ended up doing the Eagles money line with adjusted Bengals +7.5. And then I did another one, Eagles money line with adjusted Chiefs 7.5. Chiefs? Oh, I did Bengals 10.5 and Chiefs 7.5. So I was like, I just think it's going to be close. But the reason I did it was because the first game was a blowout. And when do we ever have two blowouts in the same day? It was like, add that to the gambling manifesto. We never have two shitty games. One of them's always good.
Right. And I don't know. I mean, you and I had the Niners and Bengals to make the Super Bowl, right? I think you had it at 20-1 a few weeks ago. I had it at 13-1. Then, yes, you're right. As the noon kickoff approached, I was like, when do you have two road teams winning, let alone two, you know, blowouts or two close games at this point? Yeah.
Also, everyone was on the Bengals.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And it was, and I might add this to the manifesto, actually, because you saw it right after the game when Kelsey was like, how's Burrowhead? And I do think Cincy might have talked a little too much shit.
Maybe.
It's like some sort of cousin of the nobody believes in us. It's like the, I can't believe you're disrespecting us. Or I got to come up with some. There was a disrespect level that I think annoyed the Chiefs. And it definitely fed off it.
Yeah, the Rodney factor, for sure. I know Rodney Dangerfield, but I don't know.
Oh, that's a good one. The Rodney Dangerfield rule. I like that for the manifesto. That's good.
Was it the Bengals' fault? It might have just been idiots like us. Like you know, the Chiefs, I'm like, this is their fifth straight conference championship game, right? It's basically a pick 'em, and everybody I know is going against them. And we haven't seen Mahomes yet. And I know you laughed at Romo saying, comparing it to when Drexler was coming up on Jordan in 92. And they're like, this might have just it's absurd because you didn't come up with it. That's
no,
why
I never
you
would have said that.
You would have called you Joe Burrow.
What is Clyde Drexler? The whole point was that he had never made the finals. And all of a sudden, people are comparing like his stats to Jordan. Everyone knew Jordan was the best player in the world at that point.
Oh, you think that's why it's absurd? Because Burrow actually is.
Burrow's way better than Drexler was. Drexler was like a top five player. Burrow's like, in my opinion, as good as Mahomes. I think Mahomes is a little bit greater, but he's in the conversation. It's not like a fluke that they're being compared.
Right, I know. But Burrow's just Mahomes had it though this year, and then just Burrow was more and more Burrow support. And I think that finals was like -180 or something. I'll have to look. Jordan against Drexler. But,
well, this was not a Jordan Drexler outcome. No, and Burrow. No. What he was able to do with no O-line and how many hits do you think he took in that game? At least 20.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know,
for sure.
And he wasn't great, but he wasn't bad either. And he kept them hanging around. And by the start of the fourth quarter, I thought they were going to win. It didn't seem like, you know, the Chiefs lost a couple receivers. I started to think about, what were we going to lead the podcast with? And it was like, man, that Tyreek Hill trade might have inadvertently killed the Chiefs. Like, you look at these dudes and it's like, oh, there's Sky Moore, who's barely played. Now he's out there. Some tight end. Who's that guy? Kent? He made a third down catch.
Yeah, they'd have like three tight ends. I mean, I think he had 10 receivers, Mahomes. He really did. Like, we analyzed it the wrong way. And, you know, that's the amazing thing about Tyreek Hill. Like, Mahomes still had the most 20-plus yard completions this year, more than anybody. And so you could say the Tyreek Hill factor, but he made it work with the Valdes-Scantling. No guys that you would jump out at you with as monster years, but he still needed that deep threat, which made me think even more so that he wasn't going to work today. I'm like, he's not going to be able to plant and throw 30 yards downfield. Someone will eventually figure out how to triple team Kelsey, and he won't get 14 catches for 140 yards. But he was there. He made a lot of big plays still.
29 for 43 for 326. No turnovers except for the weird fumble he had, which Jordan never would have had, just that play.
That was a terrible play. Terrible play. Yeah.
Only three rushes, so that was where he was compromised. I think normally in a game like this, he's got the 7-8 scampers that he would have had. He just didn't this game. Kelsey,
I mean, the one scamper, the last one was a huge. I mean, it was essentially a 26-yard run, right? He got like 7 or 8 yards plus the 15, 23 yards.
Kelsey was 7 for 78. They just took him out in the second half. Scantling was 6 for 116, and I guess that was the guy they needed. But for the most part, really, really even game. And if you're the Bengals, you're driving home and you're like, man, we had that.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Mike, you can't come closer to winning a game than the Bengals just did. It just hurts, Mike.
Can't both these guys go to the Super Bowl? Can't we have a three quarterback Super Bowl?
Offenses, rotate them. Rotate the three offenses.
Come on, NFL. It's just so much fun watching these two.
It wasn't a great game, but it was dramatic. And I knew it was dramatic because Romo said the word huge so many times that they actually had to run to the store and buy him 100 more huges.
Is that right?
During the game. Okay, Jim! Huge play here, Jim!
He's like it's like a Howard Letterman. He's like morphing into Howard Letterman, right? Because it really did feel like a heavyweight boxing match. I don't know.
All right, Jim. I got it. 5 rounds to 4 for Mahomes. The Bengals only had 309 total yards, which seems fitting because they got sacked. God, how many times? They only got sacked five times. It felt like it was like 100.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Burrow got hit a million times. Yeah. Other stuff I have. So do we do think Mahomes really had a high ankle sprain? I'm gonna say he did, but I'm like 2% unclear because it seemed kind of unhuman that he pulled that off.
I'm not a doctor, but I don't know what else. So what is it if it's not? We all saw the play, right? So
what if it was just an ankle sprain and not a high ankle sprain?
Just an ankle sprain?
And they didn't want to admit that they fucked up the diagnosis because it threw people off.
And then so an ankle sprain would keep him out for like a quarter last week, and then he comes back like he did. I don't know. I guess I think you might be right. They hoodwinked the whole league. And I talked to Peter King this week, and he kind of said the same thing. He's like, don't be surprised if this is a cat or mouse game. But he also was like limping too. It was definitely a real injury that bothered him, but played through it.
Let's take a break. We'll talk about the other game. Well, the other game was not as good as Chiefs Bengals. It was a game that made me think, do we need a rule where 3 quarterbacks should have to dress for every playoff game? Maybe they just put that in the CBA.
Yeah, just add a roster spot. Who cares if there's a 54-man roster? Who cares? Nobody wants to see what we saw the last 3 quarters, right?
I guess my question is, and I don't know how they split up the 53 men on the roster, but is it more worth it to have like an 8th cornerback or to have a 3rd string quarterback, just think, especially now with these concussion rules and the way that you can just, your quarterback can just get yanked, right? It seems like easier than ever to lose a quarterback during a game.
Right.
So would you rather just have the 3rd QB and just tell Jimmy G like, hey, you're going to wear shoulder pads and just be ready just in case, or have your 9th cornerback?
I think it's important to have. So, okay, we do all these safety rules, right, to keep the quarterbacks upright. That's really why the quarterback's protected in a lot of these, and people hate it, the late hits that aren't late hits and everything like that. You have to have at least a capable quarterback in there, right? When they're talking about who's the fullback, who's check dressing up and you know, changing his helmet, and McCaffrey maybe taking snaps, it's like, no, you have to have a 3rd. It's like you're going to lose audience if you have a situation like you did today where, you know, they had to leave Purdy in there because it was a difference between stacking the box with 11 and stacking the box with 9 if you have the fullback at quarterback. Or I said that the other way around, but you know what I'm saying. But yeah, that was garbage to watch. And by the way, I'm not going to give the Eagles a lot of credit here. I'm going to be salty Sal. I had a lot of money on the 49ers, and I really don't think the Eagles did a lot to win that game. And I thought the 49ers were just as good, if not better. So you're not going to hear a lot of praise. Not going to hear praise.
Salty Sal is one of my favorite human beings.
Great.
I felt really good about the Eagles, and I felt really good about Brock Purdy not coming through in this moment. And now we'll never know because he just got hurt. So I don't know whether he would have come through or not. I mean, he did get nailed on that first play, but I still wonder, like, that Philly pass rush and just the D in general and the crowd and the atmosphere. I wonder how many points they would have put up. On the other hand, I didn't really see a lot from Philly's offense to make me think that against KC, they're going to put up a ton of points. I didn't think Hurts looked that great. I didn't think they blocked that great. Lane Johnson apparently retore his groin. They didn't run the ball at all. And then they ended up breaking like 2 plays. But for the most part, they weren't able to control the ball. And it doesn't seem like Hurts wants to run around in the same play. So I don't know what to think of them because we haven't seen them play a good team yet.
You're going to be fair about it. And I'm going to tell you, I think they had 31 points. They could have ended up with like 16 or 17. They had, you know, they had right before the half, you know, and it's interesting because I thought the Niners defense was the best unit out of the 4 teams that we saw today, right? Except they self-destructed. They had how many penalties? I think they well, the team ended with like 81 yards and penalties and in bad situation. So instead of three, there was seven before the half. That craziness at the end, they got a free seven on the roughing the kicker. They got another seven somewhere else or instead of three. So, I mean, it got to a point when it was 21-7. I was thinking, I might have texted you. I'm like, put Minshew in here. They don't have to throw the ball the rest of the way. There's no way the 49ers are going to score 21.
Well, let's go backwards. So they tie at 7-7 mm-hmm. with after Purdy goes out. And it's starting to think like, man, this would be Shanahan's greatest moment. If he makes
Let's go before that. They run the Burger King commercial at 12 p.m. Pacific time. All right, go.
Extra mozzarella. So it's 7-7 and Josh Johnson, it's like this guy's, he's been around. He's 15 mm-hmm. years, been on 15 teams, Jim. Yeah. but it's like, man, this would be amazing if Shanahan, if your weapons are that good that you can make the Super Bowl with Josh Johnson.
Right.
The Eagles score, it's 14-7. And now the Niners get the ball and there's like, what, like a minute 35 left in the half.
Yeah.
And you think, oh, they're going to hand off and try to kill clock because they have the ball at the start of third quarter. They're not going to mm-hmm. fuck around. So Josh Johnson throws complete first down. And as the announcers are having, Greg Olsen and Burkhardt, they're having the, oh my God, Shanahan getting a little aggressive here. Next play, Johnson fumbles the snap. Eagles get it. Now it's 21-7 heading into halftime.
Yep.
I think you can make a really strong case, maybe just take it to halftime.
Oh yeah, don't push it. Yeah.
Yeah, I thought we were good. We're down seven. We have the ball to start third quarter. Let's get to halftime. Let's regroup with Josh Johnson. That's not what they did.
I don't know why we go back and forth with Shanahan. I think this time last year we were like, oh, he's under 500. I think we had like a weekly watch to see what his record was. I become a Shanahan guy. I'm like, damn it, look what he's done with this team. He basically said he had some bad luck and he said, all right, give me the last pick in the draft and I'll take him to the Super Bowl or game before it, right?
Yeah.
I was like, this is unbelievable. Give Brock Purdy all the credit you want, but this is Shanahan's offense and it's really working. And then I was thinking the same thing when it was 14-7. I was like, if he could use his three timeouts at half and just add an extra 7 minutes, I bet he could figure out a game plan to win this in the second half if it's 14-7. But then you're right. He got aggressive with a player. And you said it, like these third stringers, they just don't have enough reps during the week. So how could they be in sync with the offense? So take as much time as you can. Keep it a one-score game, and then get your quarterback familiarized with the offense. But they didn't do that.
Yeah, the guy, what kind of reps is he getting during the week? Right? None. Now he's taking shotgun snaps in Philly. He's trying to figure out coverages and read stuff, and he's not having the reps to... That's what happens, is the, all of a sudden the snap hits you in the hands because you're looking over to the right side before you have the ball.
Right.
I would have taken it to halftime. I think this Eagles thing, I mean, I had multiple Eagle fans in my life when they were texting me like, this is unbelievable. We got to beat that weird Giants team with Daniel Jones. And then we had Purdy, Josh Johnson, and Christian McCaffrey as the quarterbacks in the NFC title game. Like now they're going against Mahomes. Talk about the other side of the world. But
he'll like aggravate it on media day, right? And then we'll see Chad Henne. Like that'll be the easiest run. This might have been the easiest run. I know we praised Danny Dimes, but you're right. Is this? I think you had Mariota and Bortles 1 year, didn't you? Patriots before they got to the Super Bowl.
We had Mariota and Bortles, but Bortles almost beat us. We were down 10, and I think late in the third quarter, early in the fourth quarter. Like I thought that's how the dynasty was going to end. To Blake Bortles and the Jaguars. This time around, the Giants game was over 3 minutes into the game. It's like this is a wrap. Mm-hmm. You can see it right away, and then Purdy goes out. I don't know. I just thought it was pretty much over when Josh Johnson came in. But then when he gets hurt, we got to figure out how do we fix the back of the helmets? It seems like the helmets are bigger and safer, except for the part a quarterback getting sacked and hitting like the whiplash play where he hits the back of his head.
Oh, right.
How many concussions or head injuries have we seen this year just from that play? At least that's Tua's thing.
Yeah, Tua wasn't like helmet to helmet thing. It was like the head hitting the ground. Yeah,
maybe we need to bring the Steve Grogan neck roll back for the quarterbacks.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe they figure that out.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if that would hurt the arm strength.
Can they play in quicksand, maybe? Maybe they play on a softer surface. Yeah, I'm not sure. By the way, Purdy, 4 for 4. in this game. I don't think he should win MVP, but not too bad. Ended up 4 for 4. I felt for that guy. Well, I felt for good him stats. Anyway. But if he gets in there and he starts, you know, zinging it, then it's like, hey, what happened, dude? Where were you? And if he can't do anything, it's like, well, what are you doing in there, right? It was no win for Brock Purdy once he came back in that game.
So what was his injury? Did we ever find out? Because I didn't really understand.
Yeah, they said ulnar something.
If it was a nerve thing, then that would tell me that he would have trouble getting the snaps, but he could get all the snaps.
Right.
I couldn't figure that part out. Hurts in the first half, I wrote down in my notebook near the end of the first half, Hurts minus 105 over Josh Johnson.
Yeah.
They looked very similar. Hurts looked kind of discombobulated and not comfortable at all. And then in the second half, that kind of flipped. When did you give up? We both had the Niners in a tease from early in the week, the +8.5. When did you give that one up?
I think it was 4th and 3 and they ran Debo up the middle. Like there were no gadget plays.
Stop for -2?
Yeah, that was nothing, especially in a Shanahan offense. You and I, we all thought that McCaffrey was going to throw a pass. Either maybe he didn't take the snap, but you know, pitch it back to him and he throws a pass or something kind of weird. But it was all just you know, hand off to the man in motion and see what you get. But the Eagles defense was quick. I'll give the Eagles credit. Like I think 18 of those 22 starters are either like Pro Bowlers or Pro Bowl adjacent or something. So
yeah,
we talked about how deep the Niners were, but the Eagles are really deep and fast and all that stuff. And I guess they weren't going to, they didn't have to put their foot on the gas in this game. But yeah, like I said, 21-7, really, they didn't have to throw the ball like halfway through the third quarter and forward.
Hassan Reddick was the start of the game. I was thinking about the Eagles, how weird their season was, where they basically clinch everything, by week 14, pretty much, mm-hmm. and Hurts goes out. And then they come back and it's like, we have this game. It kind of means something, but not really. Then they get the bye week. Then they play the Giants. That game's over in half a quarter. Then they get this game and it's Brock Purdy and Josh Johnson. The game's over by halftime. Now they have another week off. It's like, this team hasn't played a meaningful four-quarter game since when? The beginning of December?
It'll against be like 2 months
since they've been a competitive 3-hour game.
Yeah, you're right. I don't even know what to think about it. And because of that, I'm just going to keep thinking they stink. You didn't hate any of these four teams. I did. You don't hate the Chiefs. That would be the closest you are to hating a team, right? But you had their number for a while. I hate these Eagles. I can't see them advance. I'm going to get my ass kicked in Glendale when I'm there next week or whenever, because I'm not going to be able to shut up about how I hate them.
Did you hate seeing Bradley Cooper wearing his fresh Eagles jacket in the luxury box with his newly dyed Dr. Pepper hair and going nuts for the Eagles? I was enjoying that.
That was good. That was, you know, just reminded me of Silver Linings Playbook and how bad we always talked about how we needed to be consultants on that because he and De Niro, those conversations, it was like, you can't leave, son. We got to watch this game together. If we win this game, we're in the division. It's like, no, you're already in the division. What? No, nobody's freaking out about this. The sound guy's rolling his eyes.
I have the Eagles
in
a tease to -18. Yeah.
Come on. We would have done it for free.
That's pretty bad. Yeah, so what do you make if you're the Niners? You came damn close last year. You don't
what
even
do you
know.
Do?
This
Who's
year's
your
like the great unknown. And now next year, what do you do? Like, is Purdy the guy? Purdy didn't play a meaningful road game for you. And he got hurt. You have Trey Lance, who you traded 3 first rounders for, basically. Mm-hmm. Garoppolo's gone. They'll get rid of him or he'll leave. And Tom Brady's sitting there without a team.
Right. Purdy's got to be -270 to take the first snap in week one.
What would the Brady odds be?
Am I right?
Yeah. What would the Brady odds be?
So Brady, I think you got to go team by team, right? I think he plays. So if he plays, Tampa still has to be favored. Then the Raiders,
he's not
the
going
Niners?
Back to Tampa.
Definitely not.
I don't think so.
I don't know.
Miami just said this week
they said
they're
no,
in on
right?
Tua.
Right.
Rodgers is going to go to the Jets.
Mm-hmm.
So what does that leave?
Where I mean, it leaves a lot of teams if they want.
Carolina? Right? Does he end up like playing for Frank Reich in Carolina?
Nah. Although it's not bad staying in that division.
I thought he was going to be attached with Peyton, but I don't know. There's some...
Frank Reich, is Frank Reich the best coach in that division?
No, he might be. Yeah, at least with Frank Reich, you could say he was a good coach who just had bad choice in quarterbacks. He's like your buddy that just kept dating the wrong woman, but he's a good guy. Mm-hmm. It's like, I love this guy. He can't pick him.
Right.
That's Frank Reich. They should just tell Frank that we are picking the quarterback. You don't get input in this.
Yeah, you sit back, enjoy the offseason.
Sit back. You run the team and tell us what's going on. The other lesson from this Eagles game is that the one seed still matters.
Yeah, it did this year. Yep.
Especially with the where there's only the one seeds get the bye week, right? So you don't even get to play that first week. You have two games, and then, you know, I think this Eagles team will be the team we point to when we say, like, this is how you want to do it. Clinch by early December, get everyone healthy. You get these two games and you're both home, cold weather, and then you go to the Super Bowl in 2 weeks and that's it.
You're right. It didn't matter last year, right? Both the one seeds were eliminated fairly early.
Didn't matter last year.
Even if the first year, yeah. But
I picked the Chiefs to win the Super Bowl before the season. But then by the time we got to recently, I thought it was going to be Cincy and either Philly, I guess, was my pick on Thursday. So then do I lose credit for saying before the season I thought the Chiefs were going to win the Super Bowl? I have to vacate that? Or do I get to brag about that?
No. You only brag if you stick with it. Wait, how many teams can you take?
All right,
you can take six teams. Yeah.
Sal, remember before the year, though, when I said the Chiefs are going to win the Super Bowl?
Don't remember. I heard you say the Bengals are going to win a couple weeks ago.
I had Chiefs Packers. It's halfway there. That was my preseason win. I would say I would give today like a C+, maybe even a C for the two games together.
Well, you got to make that first one's a D-, isn't it? I mean,
an F. What was fun about the first game?
Starting with Anita Baker, singing her own national version of the anthem. I don't. That was so bad that first game, and then the first quarter of the second game. If it was going to be Chiefs in a blowout, it was like, well, this is one of the worst championship weekends we've ever seen. But it did come back and was a good fourth quarter. But I'd like to see those two play. Like, you know, if that's the AFC championship every week, every year, I know you'll have a problem with it as a Patriots fan, but it's pretty great.
Won't be in there anyway.
Yeah.
It's not like we're doing anything. Well, we finally got an offensive coordinator.
That's right. Yeah. You're in good shape there.
Big old Brian. So you want to guess the lines?
Yeah. There's only one. What happened? You're going to beat me, I think.
Can we talk about, this is always the saddest day of the year for you.
Yeah.
The night of the conference championships when, first of all, no football next week.
Mm-hmm.
And then only one game left. And then you go into a dark, dark void.
Right.
This is when you start betting on like the 3-point shootout and the slam dunk contest.
I'm already betting
spring
FA
training
Cup.
Baseball.
Yeah.
Premier League. All of a sudden you start pretending you have an opinion on Everton and these random teams in the Premier League. I'm worried about you.
It was like a good boxing match for the first time in 6 months yesterday that I bet. Yeah, we got the undercard in the UFC. I'm in trouble because I'm not prepared for this offseason. I'm really not. I bet my son's rugby team.
I am predicting for a Super Bowl line, in Glendale, Arizona. I'm going to say Philly by 2.5.
Mm. You get it. I said Chiefs by one. It's Philly by 1.5.
Wow.
Yeah.
So how many under 3 Super Bowl lines have we had? Not many, right?
It's a good question. To open, there haven't been too many, no.
The good thing about podcasts was I asked that question. Mm-hmm. Then we paused the podcast and we looked it up. And now I have the information. This is live radio. Like it would have been terrible.
45 minutes later, we're staring right at them. Yeah.
So in the last few years, the only ones under 3, KC San Francisco.
Mm.
KC was favored by 1.5. Pats Rams was 2.5.
Yep.
New England Seattle was Seattle by 1. Seattle Denver was Denver by 2. And they ended up getting annihilated. Giants New England, the second one, was Pats by 2.5.
I thought I was remember that being higher. That was only 2.5. Huh?
And then you have to go back to 1982, San Francisco, Cincinnati. San Francisco favored by 1. 1973, Miami, Washington. Miami favored by one. In 1971, yep. Baltimore, Dallas. Baltimore favored by 2.5.
Oh, and they won by 3. Yeah.
So this is, yeah, you think that was the first -2.5 murder in a big
probably
game?
Probably.
So this does year not happen that often. Where do we think the line ends up at?
Well, it's weird because it ended up, the Chiefs are involved in two with short lines. Like Bucks, Chiefs, the Chiefs were given 3, and the Chiefs were giving 1.5
in San Francisco.
I think this trends towards even, I think. Don't you? I think this goes down. I think it's going to be Chiefs money coming in.
I think the Eagles have a better team. Doesn't mean they're going to win, but I think they should be favored.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the question will be, as we get closer to the game, it'll be the whole, who do they play?
Yeah, not even who they play, but I think in order to not have death threats from Eagles fans, they'd even agree that they haven't had a meaningful 4 quarters, like you said, in 2 months. And then it's going to be 2 months and 2 weeks by the time they play this game. That's the only thing that bugs me. Well, plus the experience with Mahomes and everything else and how doesn't even have to have the better team. I don't think they had the better team tonight either, and they won.
Well, the biggest thing at stake legacy-wise for the Super Bowl is if Mahomes gets through that game with the high ankle sprain 2 weeks from now, beats this crazy Eagles pass rush and is able to do it really with like Kelce and a bunch of scotch tape. Pacheco's probably his second best skill guy now, I think.
Yeah.
Pacheco was great today.
He's solid. He energizes really that team, huh?
He had some awesome plays.
And he scored and they called it back too. They forget about that.
So you'd have Mahomes. I would say the second big story would be just Jalen Hurts. That whole journey is pretty cool, right?
Well, Kelce versus Kelce is another big
That'll be
one,
the most annoying. That's going to win the what's the most annoying storyline is Kelce versus Kelce.
Yeah.
And those guys are going to lean into that hard.
Oh, yeah.
They might just stay awake 24 hours a day. It'll be like the Truman Show.
They should cut wrestling promos, basically, right? Like old school. Like what? Get Vince McMahon.
Oh, like pretend that one of them turned on the other or something.
Yeah. Just get the promos going in ring instead of media day. Do that.
Then we'll have a whole AJ Brown. It's time for me to show I'm the best receiver in the league. I'm trying to think like all the days how they'll go out.
Andy Reid used to be the Eagles coach, right? That's the big one. And Sirianni's doing it in 2 years or whatever it is.
By like Thursday of week one, it'll be like, why doesn't Andy Reid get more consideration for being the best coach of all time?
Right.
That'll have a whole day.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to think what else. Oh, and then the Philly, like what a weekend for them, by the way. Maybe that'll go like this Philly sports renaissance. Is Philly replacing Boston?
Oh, right. Yeah. Because
Embiid, I don't know if you saw yesterday, but Embiid.
47? What do you have?
Embiid grabbed the MVP race by the balls. And as you know, I'm a Jokic guy, but I'm also, right. When somebody's great, if somebody's great, Embiid absolutely destroyed the Nuggets to the point that I think he's the leader now for me for MVP. Like when you that in a head-to-head matchup like that, he was just incredible. Yeah, he was so good. And they've won 20 of their last 24 and they're the 2 seed now. And he is now, to me, it's like he's 1A and Jokic is 1B.
Plus 260 right now.
By the way, I talked about this with Verno and House last Tuesday, is plus 800.
Really?
So the odds are like dipping hard, but I think he should be the favorite.
Well, I can't do anything. I love that you didn't mention, not that I want to talk about basketball for 20 minutes, but I think strategically leaning on the referees in this Chiefs-Bengals game so that you could avoid that the terrible, terrible call, non-call against LeBron by your team.
It was awful.
There goes. All right.
We played like crap. The Lakers should have won. Jaylen Brown inexplicably drives to the basket with 4 seconds left, down 3. Lakers should just have been delighted and let him score. Dumbass Beverly comes over and hits him in the head.
With
3-point play.
Oh, maybe not the camera.
And then LeBron actually, for once, like drove to the rim, which he should do every time because he's LeBron. He's going to get the call. And does he get the call?
Right.
We fouled him.
Yeah.
And then can we at least have like 2 seconds of fun with how crazy his reaction was? What has anyone ever done more protesting a non-call and not gotten a technical or thrown out of a game? That was like 20 seconds.
If you had a blur your eyes and I show that to you and I scrapped the logo and the bug and everything, you would have thought, what, at least game 6 of the finals that was, right? The way he reacted. Like this reaction is not commensurate of a January 28th game.
Well, and then at the end, he keeps doing this thing where he sits on the bench like he just lost his dog. It's right. Like, you'll be fine. You have four titles. You're one of the three greatest players of all time. You're about to break the scoring record. You're okay.
Right. Yeah. The Patrick team's not that good, by the way. Was spectacular with the camera. And Darvin Ham was just wanted to kill him, starting off a point down in overtime because of that nonsense.
My dad went to the game, and my dad always complains about the refs.
Mm-hmm.
But I was talking to him today, and he's like, we got every call. It was great. Every game should be like that. He loved it. My dad told me something, though, that I couldn't wait to tell you. I wasn't even going to text this to you because it was so exciting.
What happened?
He thinks Joe Mazzulla should take, because Jason Garrett's never going to coach again, he thinks Joe Mazzulla should inherit the nickname the Clapper. Because he said Joe Mazzulla just stands on the sidelines and claps for 2.5 hours and doesn't seem to coach or do anything. And he's like, you and Sal should, I don't know if the Clapper can change from one person or another, but he's the new Clapper. My dad is like out on Joe Mazzulla.
I like that a lot. When you said it, I'm going to be excited. I thought you were going to say your dad's like betting on basketball. It's like, oh my God, this is the greatest.
Well, the sports gambling is going to be legal in Massachusetts in about six weeks.
Yeah, yeah. So
I want you to watch, next time you're watching the Celtics game, I want you to see if he's clapper worthy.
Does he have to pass the torch? I wonder if there's a ceremony. Or is he too self-aware? Well, we kind of gave him. I know Lombardi gave him that name, right? I think Lombardi has to decide. I think he'd be fine with it.
I'm going to ask Lombardi. You're right. Lombardi, that was Lombardi's nickname.
Right.
But I do think, like, I don't think Garrett's going to coach again. All right, I'll text Lombardi. I'll have a verdict next week, because next week we're doing Super Bowl props.
I need to know. Yeah,
Lombardi's going nuts because he can't. He thought this Sixers team was going in the tank, but now you know they look like they have a chance to get the one seed, especially with the Celtics going in the wrong direction. The NBA is kind of in flux right now because they got the trade deadline in less than 2 weeks. And there's no great team, and everybody needs something. So it's actually going to be a really, really important trade deadline, which is unusual.
We need Sacramento to get everybody, right? That's our big bet. Pacific, what do we have it at? 4-1? Now it's like 2?
Did we bet that, though?
Oh, I think we did. Yeah.
Yeah, we did.
Pretty sure. Yeah.
Well, the other big bet, I think we already hit.
That was Portland's for sure done.
Portland's not done to make the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
And Charlotte not to make the playoffs.
Yeah, Charlotte's way gone. And Portland had a couple wins this week and then lost to Toronto, right?
Yeah, I don't. Portland's not making the playoffs. Yeah. All right, let's take a break and do some Parent Corner. Today's Parent Corner is brought to you by CarMax. CarMax makes shopping for a car really, really easy because you can shop on your terms with no pressure. That's right, shop online or a store near you. And get a 30-day money-back guarantee so you can see if the car works for you or you can return it up to 1,500 miles. See CarMax.com for details. CarMax, car buying reimagined. All right, what do you got, Sal?
All right, Parent Corner. So a Royal Rumble. Well, I got two things. First of all, real quick, my son Harrison had to do a report on an American hero. And I thought for sure he's going to pick his old man. I mean, the kid worships me. No, Mr. Rogers. So Mr. Wow. Rogers. Yes, Mr. Rogers. And, you know, it leads to us watching the documentary and about 7 episodes of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. And God bless him. As far as children's like learning and everything, he really put it on the map and fought for kids and learning the right way. But that shit is boring. It really is. Like King Friday, you go from Burger King to King Friday. It's like you're all your senses are dulled. And he's like, you know, he's a nice guy, but is he really this nice? Like, I think they're used to like so many pranks and everything on YouTube. But so I was like, he's your American hero. So, you know, you're going to have to figure it out. But so that's just one, Mr. Rogers, American hero. Secondly,
that's nice. It's pleasant.
It is nice. I'm not used to nice and pleasant and something I can't make fun of, really. But yeah, I am used to the Royal Rumble and we do a big thing. And, you know, it's at my house and we have like Harrison's like boy cousins over and it's me and Jack and Harrison and Archie and we were like one other person. And so we pick and we each get like 5 names, 5 numbers rather. There are 30 entries, right? And all I'm hoping for is that it doesn't come down to Jack and Harrison because there's a lot of animosity between those two, right? My youngest and my middle kid. Well, of course, you know, there's a chance I'm going to come. It's going to come down to me. But I draw like Booker T. That's my last draw. And he lasts for like 36 seconds or something. So that was that. So, of course, Harriso has Gunther. Is that the number one? He was number one, right?
Gunther was number one. Yeah. He used to be Walter. Now he's Gunther.
Yeah.
I still don't know why he had to change names, but now he's Gunther.
Well, for marketing, I mean, that's got longevity if you're Gunther. But and number 30, Gunther. Jack had one of his picks was Cody Rhodes.
Right.
So, of course, it comes down to those two. I'm like, oh damn it, this is bad. And it's not just like, it's not old times where Harrison would just cry and I'd keep the camera on him and I'd make fun of him. So I have the camera. I'll send it to you. I didn't want to post it because it just reflects on what a bad parent I am. But yeah. Jack was in his face taunting him when Cody Rhodes throws Gunther out, eliminates him. It was like Eli Apple taunting, like in his face. And then Jack and swear words and the wife is not happy with any of it. And of course, and I'm recording laughing and that makes me look bad too. So, I don't know what to say, but the Royal Rumble.
Eventually going to lead to a fist fight between two of your sons.
Yeah, the Royal Rumble moves to where I live in the South Bay. That's where the rumbling goes on. So I'm of course terrible. I give him a big trophy and everything else for winning. But if you have a better idea of how to not divide your family in the Royal Rumble, because I don't think they're talking the day after, I'm all ears.
So. My wife went to Paris for 8 days with some friends, and I had to hold the fort down with the two kids, and I had to do the driving and the grocery shopping. I basically had to like be mom and dad while also doing my job, all the stuff. During all of this, like the lady who runs content at Spotify ends up leaving. So there's all this work drama all last week. And I'm like also doing all the house, and it's like, oh my God, we're out of almond milk. And guess what?
Delete that.
That's my daughter drinks almond milk.
Stupid line.
Not deleting it. My daughter, that's what she drinks.
How did she go to Paris? Were you guys like saving up or something?
Was it saving up?
It's like a Costco trip or
put
something?
Put some pennies together.
Nice.
And then she came back and it was like, you know what? Wasn't that hard? Complaining about all this shit. It's like, oh my God. I don't know. I did laundry. I drove people around. I made sure
everyone got
to where they got to go. It wasn't like overwhelming. Did all my other stuff. Watched football on Sunday, and I don't know.
You're so stupid. This is something you text to me afterwards. You don't say this in public. Now Paris is going to be a 4-time-a-year thing. Now, what's the matter with
you? The actual story is by day 8, I was like snapping and screaming at absolutely everybody.
There you go. Okay.
Yeah. No, that's how it really played out. First 5 days, I was like, yeah, not that hard. By day 8, I was like, where the fuck is she? Ben's like, Dad, what are we doing? Like, I don't know, you little shit. It's just like dying. So tired of everybody. Then they're just like, they're texting each other. I could tell like my two kids, because they can, you know, everybody can communicate now without.
Right.
They could just be at the kitchen counter, like just texting, like, boy, Dad's about to lose his mind. Yeah. Right. So it got a little dark the last couple of days, but we made it. It was fun. When was the last time you were alone with all the kids?
I think you should, it's going to happen because my wife is going with my oldest son. He has rugby games in Italy. So I'll have two of them, and that's like an 8-day thing. So that's like next month. But, you know, as the great Mr. Rogers once said, don't ever fucking leave us with these kids. They're terrible. No, I don't know what he said.
Listen, I can throw 6 good innings, but a complete game is really hard.
That's right.
Yeah, I can give you a really good 6. I can do like the Nick Pavetta. I can get to the 6th inning, and then I really need two guys warming up in the bullpen.
It's a quality start. That's all. Yeah. That's all you're capable of.
I have one more parent corner announcement since we're here.
What is
it? My son is going to play lacrosse, and we had to go to Dick's and buy a lacrosse stick. And he's decided he wants to play a sport in the spring and he wants to hit people. So that'll be, I guess we're almost done with the Sunday football gig. Well, I'll catch some updates after.
Yeah. How much is a lacrosse stick now?
I mean, they weren't cheap. Dick's Sporting Good had this whole lacrosse section. I didn't even understand what's going on. I, I got to be honest. I don't know anything about lacrosse.
Do you think there's collusion? I bet it's about $250, right? Because I think like I think all the sports got together and say, all right, the main equipment thing, it's going to be no matter what sport, it's got to be $250, right? If you're playing pickleball, we're going to make these rackets $150 each, right?
I think that's a really good point because when we went, I ended up getting him one so he could practice in the backyard, but it wasn't like one, they didn't have like the good ones. So I went on the website this morning and I was like, oh, I got to get like the carbon one. You're right. It was like $220.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's just blanket. That's what it costs.
They just know.
Why are footballs so expensive? Like the nice footballs are like $110. Like should any football cost more than $40?
Right. Yeah. And baseballs too, believe it or not. If you want to get like a bucket of baseballs to hit at the park, you're in for like $200. Like, oh man. So these things are actual, even if Aaron Judge didn't hit one, it pays to catch one and it's a foul ball if you don't.
I hadn't been to Dick's in a while. There was a whole Yeti, like wall of Yeti stuff. I think Yeti is overtaking the world.
Right.
It's like, oh, should I get the 30 ounces or the 26 ounces? Oh, they have a 22 ounces. Like, what the fuck's the difference? I got a 30 ouncer.
Our cousin loves one. He makes all the Yeti. Jimmy makes Yeti. He'll personalize all the Yeti. He had one for you. I think I took it. You were supposed to go on that lodge trip, right?
He made me a Yeti? You took my Yeti?
It's at my house. I'll give it to you. Or I'll sell it for $150. I don't know. Whatever it is.
Our cousin had a big, awesome anniversary show.
That was great.
One of the streamers. I thought that was the best show he's ever done.
Yeah, it was so good. It was so good.
Yeah, and he's so good.
I'm with you. Well, when he interviewed himself in 2003, I had no idea what I was watching.
Technology is just so amazing.
That was that was amazing, though. I know you commented that it broke your brain. Like, he didn't. They scripted it out, but he didn't do anything else on the 2003 side.
I want them to script when I used to be in his dressing room working on the monologue, when he would go into the bathroom and sit on the toilet and do the monologue. That should be the next way they use the technology.
Script like,
how far can it go? The thing that was really weird was just seeing him from back then now interacting. Yes. That was where I was like, I can't handle this. Cause that was the guy I met when I moved to LA.
Well, how far are we away from, like, I don't know. I'm trying to think, like, who's the first old person that died in a season and, like, really, like, screwed. I know they put Princess Leia in the subsequent Star Wars movies, but right. I feel like you could do a dead actor could go another season now at this point for any series.
Well, I do wonder, like, could they do something with Michael Corleone and The Godfather? Like, could they do a Godfather between 2 and 3, like that era? Before he gets old, and set it in like, I don't know, the early 80s or the late 70s, and just make a whole Godfather movie that way.
If he's sitting in a chair, if most of the lines are delivered smoking from a chair, I think he could, as long as there's not a ton of movement.
Well, I know one of the things, like just for like podcast stuff, I know they're working on ad tech technology where they could just take my voice and read ads with it.
Right.
I wouldn't even read the ads.
Yeah. Well, that should be great. That's basically, oh, geez, it makes me, but does that mean we're going to have the clapper forever? I mean, I guess it's good and bad. Whatever his new name's going to be. Good Lord. It's
very possible. All right. That was Parent Corner. Today's Parent Corner is brought to you by CarMax. Looking for the perfect car for you? Well, CarMax has thousands of quality certified cars for you to choose from. They spend hours replacing parts and detailing them to make your car feel like new. And then they give each one a final quality check. So shop at CarMax and get extra peace of mind when you buy your next car. Learn more at CarMax.com. CarMax, car buying reimagined. By the way, Royal Rumble, the best spot of the whole pay-per-view was that Logan Paul ricocheted jumping on opposite ends of the rope, flying into each other. I thought that was incredible.
I showed a bunch of people who don't even watch wrestling. Think it's nonsense, and the huge UFC guys. Obviously, that's, brain breaking and stuff, but I was like, hey, this had to hurt, right? And they're like, oh yeah, that's crazy. Not a lot of people would try that. How'd they get the timing down perfectly?
It was really great. I always end up rooting for Omos. I just feel like every time I'm like, this is the year, he's the new Andre the Giant. They just haven't really figured it out yet. And then he always blows it. He's become the new Tony Atlas.
He's right behind Embiid for NBA MVP. I think he's like plus 650. Didn't he play at Southern Florida or something? He played at USF.
Did he really?
Yeah, he was like a center at USF.
Oh, Jesus. All right. Anything else before we go?
Yeah.
Short podcast. We only had two games.
That's all right. Yeah. What are you going to do? Extra Points Podcast Network. All your sports gambling needs are taken care of against all odds. Tomorrow we'll recap the games. We'll give a pick on Monday. And that's that. And I guess we'll be on what next week to go over these props.
Yeah. Sunday night you're coming on and we will do an absolute shitload of props. Right. I really thought I was going to go 2-0 today. I was bummed that when the Bengals got the ball with 8 minutes left, I was like, this is it. 2-0. Be 9-3 for the playoffs. Mm. Just wasn't meant to be.
Pat Joseph, Mahomes. Have Joseph Asai write you a check. And then the wife takes it, goes to France. I think that's how it has to be. Yep.
Do you think in the social media era, it's harder to get mad at people than it used to be? In the old days, you'd be like, that motherfucker. But now it's like with Twitter and stuff, then the person might see it and you have to be like super careful what you say when you criticize. Or do you think it's meaner? You think it's meaner now?
Of course it's meaner. If you think people are thinking before they tweet? No, it's terrible.
I
was thinking about Scott Rowland this week. And of course, I don't think he should go to the Hall of Fame. But I was like, oh, this poor son of a bitch. All he did was play very, very good baseball his whole life. And now if he reads on Twitter, like he'll see like 95% like want him to die. it's bad. Like a nice thing where he showed his family and like they collapsed in his arms in tears. I'm like, ugh, why does it all have to be negative?
I mean, it is the Hall of Fame.
I know.
I feel, as I've said a million times, for me, the Hall of Fame is either like you broke some sort of, you had some sort of achievement, like you had 300 wins or you had 3,000 hits, something like that. Or when you were in town, I wanted to go see you.
Yeah.
And like, if it wasn't one of those two, it's really hard for me to get there. I remember Craig Biggio was like that too. And Craig Biggio, like, pretty much everybody's like definitely a Hall of Famer. I'm like, was he? Is that like what's in basketball? They've just completely blown it. Like the basketball Hall of Fame threshold is now like it's just shot to hell.
No, baseball's got to be worse. Baseball.
No, basketball is worse. Basketball.
How many can you vote for basketball?
Basketball, they try to get like 10 to 12 every year. So it's just getting worse and worse.
Well, that's it. So baseball, you can vote for 10. And I think people that feel like they're not doing their job if they don't vote for 10. And that's
we were there for Hal Baines.
Oh, that's right.
He was really good, but we were there the whole time. There was no Hal Baines conversations.
There's very good, then there's great, and then there's excellent. I think these guys are like two levels below where they need to be. It's a mess.
This has been the case for a while, which is why my buddy Gus, his dad, when we were driving to that Mets game that time, and we were talking about how the Hall of Fame was getting devalued, and he came up with that pyramid idea. And this is why you need the pyramid, because if like we had the pyramid, Scott Rowland gets in and he's on like ground floor. It's like, oh, good. Congratulations. But then
interesting.
When like the Ricky Henderson type gets in, then it's like, is he level 3 or level 2? And it's like a different argument. Instead, it's just like everybody's equal, which makes no sense.
That's pretty good. Someone had the idea. First of all, this would be a great event, but you have one chance to get in. I mean, how great? That would be a nice pay-per-view if you had one chance to get in and then you don't have to, you know. So you might get like 9 guys 1 year and then not get anyone for like 3 years. That's the problem, though. They want it to be an event. They need definitely
the problem with basketball.
Players getting in. Yeah.
I was watching The Running Man over the weekend. When was the last time you saw that movie?
I couldn't even tell you.
It's really good. I was like shocked by how I can't believe they haven't remade it. But at one point, Richard Dawson, he's the evil host. Yeah.
Right.
And he screams at one of the people, like, maybe you won't get your steroids. And like, and it was like, but like we were making steroids jokes. This movie came out in 1987.
Yeah.
And I just don't understand why like Clemens and Bonds, people are acting like this is like this great awakening of, oh my God, these guys that game the system. How do we know there weren't guys from the 70s and 80s that didn't do stuff?
It's bad.
Whole thing's stupid. It's
bad. Bonds had as many MVPs as Rowland had all-star appearances. It's like, come on.
Even if you just have cut Bonds off after 1998, put on the plaque, this is only from 84 to 98. He's still a Hall of Famer. He's the best left fielder I ever saw.
Yeah. Too righteous, these dumb voters. That's a problem.
I don't know. I mean, would you ever bring your kids to the Baseball Hall of Fame at this point?
We went like 4 years ago, and it's great. It's Cooperstown's a really nice place. We drove like 3.5 hours from the city, from New York. And yeah, but now my buddy Darren's like, we were going to go this summer. I'm not going anymore. I'm just not. I don't need to see like Scott Rowland.
The Parlay Kid?
Players. Parlay Kid. It was like 11 kids. He says he's out. He's not happy. I'll tell you what, he's not happy your guy Schilling's not in.
There's some text. Schilling should be in. Yeah. Clemens should be in. Bond should be in. A-Rod should be in. Like, what are we doing?
Yeah.
Just put them all in the basement. Give them some like shitty room that's not that well lit, but they should all be in.
That's the pyramid. Dumb. Yeah.
Ridiculous. All right, Sal. Good job by you.
Good job by you, buddy.
All right, that's it for the podcast. Thanks to Cousin Sal, as always. Thanks to Kyle Creighton for producing, as always. Don't forget, new rewatchables coming Monday night, and I will see you on this feed on Tuesday. So